And so, without any further ado, I want you just to draw a circle, make it as round as you can, and I'll try here. Right on your paper there, as large as you can, as large as your paper will allow you, a circle. And this represents, if you'd like to write out on the rim, the Christian living the life. The Christian living the life. Now let me see what you've got there. Let's see your circle. Raise it up. Good start. Some of my little weenie there. I don't know how far you're going with them, but... Now, don't do this, but I want to show you, when we finish, we're not only going to have a rim, we're going to have a hub, which is important to the support of the rim, and we're going to have four supporting spokes, a foundational spoke, and this spoke that reaches to the upper rim to give support. Then we're going to give a spoke over here and one over here. You take out any one of those, and what will happen to that wheel? Huh? Collapse. And if it rolls along and this one's out, it will collapse. And I'm going to show you tonight that most of us are operating on this spoke over here only. In fact, we probably don't have anything in our wheel except this spoke here coming up to center without even anything to fasten to in the center. And so this is what we'll end up with when we're through. Now, this, as it is, represents nothing, a big old nothing. And this is like life. Often, it's meaningless. And there may be people sitting right here tonight. Your life, you don't know where you're going. You don't really know why you're here tonight. Don't know where you're headed at all. And you can't say, I know where I came from, and I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going. It's good that we can say these things, and I think most of us can say, I know where I came from, and I know why I'm here. Someone has said we have penetrated the ultimate in reality when we can say this, I know where I came from, I know why I'm here, and I know where I'm going. But this is often life, right here, empty. Now, not only is it empty for people without Christ, but it's often empty for people who know Christ. And I'm going to read for you something here tonight, and I want you to take these two references, about six or seven verses in each of them. Don't look them up now, but you think. Now, this illustration here, really, and I want you to write it over the top of your illustration, priority. How do you spell priority? P-R-I-O, like that? Priority. Write that over your illustration. This graphic illustration tonight is going to, I hope, help us to see what is really important in life and to work on priorities. I'm sure some of you will recognize this passage before I get too far into it. I'll give you the reference when I'm through. Now this, the children of Israel went back to rebuild the wall. The remnant of the children went back after they'd been in captivity, back to rebuild the wall and to build the house of God where they could worship again, where God would be magnified. It was torn down, but they got off the track. And this is what it says. It is time, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you drink, but you have not enough. Excuse me. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes in. You've ever heard that verse before? And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes in. Now listen what he says again. He says before this verse, consider your ways. And he says again, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from her dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. I've got a little note in here that's been passed along the way and I've worked through the years. Emotion is no substitute for action, and action is no substitute for production. We can get emotional, we can get active, but are we really producing anything? Ye have sown much, and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. You clothe you, and there's none warm. And he that earneth wages, earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes in. A lot of motion, a lot of activity, but no production because of the lack of priorities. They went in there to work for God, to build a house, and they got tied up in their own sealed homes. Now you listen to this one. And I've memorized this one recently because I wanted to look me in the eyes every day of my life. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, nor his statutes, nor his judgments, which I command you this day. Beware that you forget not the Lord in not keeping his commandments, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And every one of us, I'm sure tonight, we have been blessed of the Lord. I know my salary has increased many times over what it was 15 and 17 years ago. And we're living in a better home, and we have much to praise God for tonight. And we all, the blessing of the Lord is on everyone when we honor him. But can we really stand prosperity? Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks are multiplied, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. God brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and gave them all of these blessings. And he said, I want you now, when you get into this promised land, to remember that everything you have, I gave it to you. And don't you let these houses and this food and all of these things that I've given you take you away from me. And if you read on, he says, I'll take away the wells that you digged and the houses that you build and everything else. On the other hand, he says, I'll give you wells that you didn't dig, houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant. That's God's way of doing business. But we've got to keep him first in the center of our life. And so this wheel here tonight represents emptiness for the person without Christ. And it also may represent futility on the part of those who know Christ but are not serving him as the Lord of their life. And so we've got an empty circle. And I would like us, if you will, to put at least a quarter-sized tub right in the center. Now, let's get it right in the center and make it large enough to write the word Christ. Now, mine's not quite in the center, is it? I'll tell you something. If this isn't in the center of your wheel, you've got an eccentric wheel. You know what that means? Irregular. And this wheel, when it's running along, is going to go like this. And that's the way life is when Christ isn't in the center. It's eccentric, irregular, erratic. Christ needs to be right in the center of the life if we're to have a spirit-filled, dynamic, blessed life day by day. You say amen to that? Amen. Loud and clear. Let's hear it.
Amen.
Okay, I'm glad you're with me. Now then, Pascal, the great French physicist, said that God has created in every man a God-sized vacuum that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. And so to the man without Christ, without hope, and without life, his first responsibility is to ask Jesus Christ to come in. You know, a wonderful verse, Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a picture, and some of you have seen the painting of Christ at the door. The door of the heart, the door of the intellect, the emotion, the will. Jesus Christ wants to come in and dwell the life. Is he in your life tonight? Maybe you do not have purpose in life tonight because Jesus Christ has never come in. You know, friends, he's only a prayer away. Romans 10:13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Come to the place in your life where you know you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you say, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask you to come into my life tonight by faith." Paul the Apostle says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by his Holy Spirit, comes right into the life and makes his home right in our life, in our heart and life. Is he in yours tonight? That's the first step in a life that's empty, to ask Jesus to come in. I thank God that I did that years ago. Now, if you like, I like to think of this as a reservoir of God. And if you'd like just to take about three verses somewhere else, just put reservoir if you like. This is a reservoir, and God's reservoir is full, overflowing with goodies. One, if you'd like, John 10:10, and put the word abundant life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly. God wants us to live abundantly, not measly, but abundantly. And he does give us a lot of good things, good cars and good homes and fine clothing. He wants us to live good, but he always wants us to give him the glory. All right, then secondly, Psalm 37:4-5, put the word fulfillment. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's not a person here tonight who is not looking for fulfillment. I don't care, you young men are looking for fulfillment in your life. You older folk, we older folk, are looking for fulfillment. I'm 52. We're looking for fulfillment. Every day we get up in the morning, we hope this day has something that will satisfy, but often it doesn't, because we're looking in the wrong direction. Perhaps to the wrong thing. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of things which man possesses. But there's fulfillment in this reservoir from God. And then, Isaiah 26:3. Peace. You can't buy it with money. When we put our head on our pillow tonight, we that know the Lord Jesus and we that are at peace with him can lay our head down tonight. I will lay me down in peace and sleep. The psalmist said, "For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." Psalm 5:3. I can lay my head on my pillow. Peace tonight. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so we could go on and on and on. All of these goodies in the reservoir of God. But you know, to many of us, they're still far away. How in the world do I get them? Well, I'm going to show you tonight how to tap this reservoir. I'm going to show you how to break this vicious circle that we're in and how to begin to get these goodies from God. Just a little word of testimony. I received Christ at the age of 16. Life began for me at 16. But you know, for a while, I had a great desire. I can remember wanting other people saved. I followed the evangelist around, as a matter of fact, from one little town to another, Dr. John R. Troy. And I can remember wanting people converted. And if I saw somebody wiggling or twitching a little bit, I thought they were under conviction. I'd run over and say, "You want me to go forward with you?" And I know that I really put a lot of people off because of my zeal. But then, slow but sure, I cooled off. And for about 9 years, I followed afar off. I was in the church. I wouldn't miss church. I loved my mother. My big brother had brought me up in Sunday school. And more or less out of respect for both of them, I wouldn't miss church. But I'll tell you, I was one of the most uncomfortable people you ever saw in church. I wouldn't want anyone to smell my breath sometimes. I certainly wouldn't want anyone to ask you on Sunday morning where you spent Saturday night. And I'll tell you, I was miserable in church. I couldn't wait till church was over. After a while, I was straddling that old fence, one foot in the world and one in the church, and I wasn't happy in either place. And you yourself know you can't be happy in either place, don't you? Shake your head if you know that, huh? You know you can't. You're miserable when you're in church. You just don't fit in here. And when you're in the world, you don't fit in there either, because your heart just won't let you relax and enjoy that drink or that next drink or whatever you are indulging in at the moment. You cannot escape the Spirit of God. You read Psalm 139 again. Whither shall I go to escape from thee? And God's Holy Spirit goes along to convict and to make you miserable when you're not in perfect fellowship and harmony. Do you agree with that? I certainly was unhappy, miserable. But I did this for about 9 years. In fact, I told you how I had this experience of speaking to the brotherhood. I was asked time that I had this traumatic experience. I was elected president of the brotherhood at 18 years of age. I didn't tell you that, did I, the other night? And did I? And they thought if they brought a new fellow in, they would get some new ideas. Young man. So they made me president at 18. And we had a dinner, the men and the women of the church. And I went out there and a little ahead of time, and a Mr. Clink, one of the officers, said, Charlie, you're to give a speech here tonight. Well, I'd never given a speech before. And I didn't have any trouble talking. I had teachers in high school tell me to shut up. I talk too much. I want to answer all the questions. But I walked in and I thought, well, I'll start with ladies and gentlemen. I got that down pretty well. And first thing I know, someone engaged me in conversation. I sat down to eat and I talked to the person on the right and left, and wham, I was up to speak. And I gave him my best smile and I said, ladies and gentlemen, and I blacked out. I couldn't think of another word to say. Honestly, I completely went numb. It was like a black shade was pulled right down in front of me. And I don't know how long I stood there, but finally I just sat down. I was... And it was from that experience that I ran from God. I told you about going to this school so I never would have to officiate at a brotherhood meeting. And I bobbled around like a cork at sea, one day over here and another day over there, like driftwood. No real purpose in life. And one day, we were out cutting a big tree with a 5-foot cross-cut saw. And the man on the other end of the saw was pulling, and I was pulling, and I got to thinking about something someone said not too long before about God having a real purpose for your life. And God, if he could take your life, he'd make something out of your life. And I was pulling along there on this saw, and I knew that I didn't have anything for God to give him, and I was taking care of a mother. I had an invalid sister, and I had trouble speaking, but I couldn't get away from him. I was sawing along, and I was really wrestling with him. And finally, I don't know exactly what happened, but I said, yes to God. I said, I want you to have my life. Now, I've got a little meditation, and I want you somewhere in a sheet all by itself to put D-Day. D-Day. And I'm going to give you at least 3 D's for D-Day. And you that were in the last World War will know what D-Day stands for, don't you? How many do? How many took part in it? I know Jack was over there, and Gene was over on the continent, and some of the rest of you. This was the day when the Allies loosed an all-out offensive to free Europe from the Nazi horde. D-Day was for me this day. I don't understand it now, but D-Day was the day, I believe, when Satan, who had a grip on my life, loosed the grip when I said, Lord Jesus, I want you to take over. And for your first D-Day, Romans 12, 1 and 2, daily dedication. Daily dedication. Friends, this may sound strange to you tonight, but that was in 1942, 27 years ago. There hasn't been a day since that day that I haven't been conscious of the presence of God in my life. Now, I don't mean to say that I've had all kinds of victories day after. I've had a hard life, but there's never been a day that I have not been conscious of God's presence in my life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 states, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. And be not what? Conform to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, I believe you're either going to be conformed to the world around you, or by dedication and discipline, you're going to be daily transformed by the renewing of your mind. You believe that? Well, it started in my life. Like plugging in the lamp, the light came on. And I believe that every day is a new day to dedicate afresh and anew our life to Jesus Christ. And if God is working in our life, then we dedicate it at a deeper level every day. Is that right? If God is working, He's claiming new areas, giving us new responsibilities, new blessings, we need to rededicate it every day of our life. Give it back to Him. That's the first D-Day. Well, God started to work. And it wasn't long, I started to have a hunger, and I remember going to a little Bible study in our church. This Bible study was led by a crippled girl who walked on the sides of her feet. Her brother, they called Stubby, was a great big farmer. They had a little Bible class in the church, and I remember going. They'd asked me many times to go. Had no time for them. But this time I went on a Tuesday night. I remember hiding my package of chewing tobacco. I was afraid someone might come out. I don't know, I think I put it under the seat. I was a tough guy, you know, working in the oil fields. I went in, and I sat there with these young people, and they were singing choruses and praying and memorizing and quoting verses, and it was a new world for me, but God had prepared my heart for it. And I started memorizing with them. And then, before long, I got my call from Uncle Sam to go in the army. He knew that I needed some discipline in my life. And, you know, just before I went in, my pastor came over, and he said, Charlie, he said, it's going to be rough on you in the service. He said, unless you have some real roots, he said, it could go the other way for you. He said, do you read your Bible regularly? And I kind of hemmed and hawed and finally had to admit, not very much. And so he challenged me to start reading my Bible. Now, I don't even remember where I started, but I do remember this. That I got up a little earlier, and I opened the Bible for the first time and started reading. And I'll tell you, I went to work that day with a new warmth in my heart. And so my second D that I'd like you to give you under D-Day is daily devotions. Daily devotions. And I thank God for that start back in 1942, starting meeting the Lord. Bert gave us Acts 17:11 this morning. They searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. We need the challenge of the word day by day, the direction of the word, as Jack was telling us today so beautifully. Day by day, the refreshing and the filling of the word of God in our life. And so, I thank God for this pastor that got me started, and it wasn't long before God in His own economy said, you need a little discipline in your life, and whambo, I went into the service and I met the navigators. And it wasn't long before I started memorizing. And I remember I had a great desire to witness. And they gave me the gospel outline, the fact of sin, the penalty of sin, the penalty must be paid, and the penalty paid by Christ, and salvation's a free gift. We must receive Him. And if you're not memorizing, you don't know that outline or those verses, get them. This immediately gives you a foundation, at least, for opening your mouth to share Jesus Christ. And you can build your witness on this. Now, just back to this, and I'm going to have to hurry as time is fleeting, but we're going to get back here. This outside rim represents emptiness. The Christian living the life, but also emptiness and futility to the Christian who's really not living for Jesus Christ. In your notes, I want you to put hub. And I want you to put the word lordship. Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of your life tonight? And under this, I'm going to give you three scriptures. A, B, and see. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Matthew 6, 33, and John 15, 5. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Matthew 6, 33, and John 15, 5. Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of your life? I'm sure some of you that have been around for a while would agree with me that it's Lordship that really unlocks the floodgates of heaven and the overflow starts coming your way. Psalm 25:14 tells us the secret of the Lord is with them that what? Fear Him. And that word fear means reverence, respect, to stand in awe before God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Proverbs 1:7 states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This Lordship unlocks the secrets of God and lifts the floodgates of heaven. And God's blessing begins to flow to you when you let Him be the Lord of all of your life. And if you're not in the center of God's blessing tonight, let me ask you to just, when you're quiet tonight before God, really get before Him and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know if you're the Lord of my life, but tonight I want you to have all of me. I want to give my life a living sacrifice back to you. And I'll do it again tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, day after day of my life. Two words after this. Divine ownership, if you'd like to put D-O. This verse says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and ye are what? Not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are what? His. He's Lord tonight because of divine ownership. He bought us by His death on the cross of Calvary. Matthew 6:33, two words. Demands allegiance. Divine ownership demands allegiance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Rue and I took this verse before we were married as our life verse. It's been tough. We took it as our life verse. And God has been so faithful. We were married by Lauren Sanney. He tied the knot, or he performed the ceremony. I remember LaRue was in Los Angeles. I was in Seattle, Washington, before I went to school on the GI Bill. I was working as a carpenter to help with the NAV expenses in Seattle. And every single penny that I earned went into the home. Every single penny. We didn't have a red cent saved up for our wedding. And yet, by faith, with the guidance of the NAS, we set the date for July. What was it, honey? July the 9th. And we went down, and I won't tell you all the things that God provided, but we went to the altar with not a red penny in our pocket. Not a cent. Rod Sargent loaned us his old blue car to have a honeymoon, used for a honeymoon. After the ceremony, I shake hands, and I got a little crinkle in my hand, and another crinkle, and another crinkle, and another crinkle, and another crinkle. Got all through, and the crinkles added up to $38. That was for a honeymoon. I said, well, I've got to give Sonny something, so we gave him a big five. And we started out down the coast of California. Got down to Laguna Beach. Stopped at a motel, $10 to $12 a night. I walked back to the car, went to another one, $10, $12, $40. I said, honey, our honeymoon's over. So we prayed, asked the Lord to show us, guide us, and we drove about 3 or 4 miles, I don't remember which, to Dana Point, and stopped, and there was a little knotty pine motel. The lady just sort of knew we were in need, I guess, and she said, I've got a little suite back here. I'll give it to you for $20 a week. $20 a week. So that meant we had about $12 to live on. I will tell you where we lived on. It was toast and cocoa and soup. And we went out for one big meal, a hamburger steak. And we ran out of gas before the week was up and we had to quit driving. Well, it was thrilling, but I'll tell you, here's where the devil will get in a blow, right here. Whether Jesus Christ is Lord or not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you. And then, John 15:5, and I want you to put daily abiding. Ask the Lord to show us, guide us, and we drove about 3 or 4 miles, I don't remember which, to Dana Point and stopped, and there was a little knotty pine motel. The lady just sort of knew we were in need, I guess, and she said, I've got a little suite back here. I'll give it to you for $20 a week. $20 a week. So that meant we had about $12 to live on. I will tell you where we lived on. It was toast and cocoa and soup. And we went out for one big meal, a hamburger steak. And we ran out of gas before the week was up and we had to quit driving. Well, it was thrilling, but I'll tell you, here's where the devil will get in a blow, right here. Whether Jesus Christ is Lord or not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you. And then, John 15:5, and I want you to put daily abiding. D-A, daily abiding. Keep him, Lord. Show your allegiance by daily abiding in him. And you know this verse, I am the vine, quote it with me. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Do we really believe that tonight? How often do we go off into the day and leave him behind and forget him? How often do we start the day never giving him a bit of time? Never a word of prayer or never something for the inner man? Daily abiding. And so, just quickly, how to break the vicious circle. I don't know a better way to keep Christ in the center of the life on target than through daily devotions. And so I want you, if you will, to put this supporting spoke here and this one up here and just put the word and prayer. Daily devotion, day by day, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not in the habit of this, let me suggest that you start with maybe John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And just read 4 or 5 verses. And read as though God is speaking to you. He's telling you about the mansions in heaven. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be what? Also, and just read it as though God was saying these very words to you, because he is. And then a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this promise. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for going to heaven. Thank you for the promise of coming again to take me to be with you. Little time in the word and a little time in prayer. Now, they're having optionals on a devotional life, but we can't take a lot of time. The time is slipping away. And I do want to fill in these spokes before we leave tonight. But remember the second D in D-Day is what? Daily devotion. You fall short. How often do you fall short? Daily devotion. This is how you break the vicious circle, taking a shortcut to the very heart of God day by day through the word and through prayer. You and I can communicate and have a dialogue with the living God every day of our life, the Creator. And he wants us to have it. I remember Dr. John up in Portland. What's his name? Mitchell. Jack Mitchell. I was at a camp one time, and boy, you know how he can speak the word, and he was putting that old finger, and he was giving us the message on John 4:23-24 about the devotional life. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he said, God is seeking us every day of his life. God is seeking. He said, make an appointment with God. He's never missed one. And God's date page is blank. He'll give you 7 in the morning if you like. He'll give you 6:15 if you like. He'll give you 7:30 if you like. He'll give you 7. If you sleep in a little bit, he'll wait for you. God has never missed an appointment. Make an appointment with him and then keep it. And friends, if you miss, don't let it throw you. If you missed a meal, you wouldn't quit eating, would you? If you missed 2 days, if you miss, get back at it. Realize priorities. I must spend time with him, not as a crutch. Not just so I can say, well, I've got time with the Lord today, you know, that type of thing. Go because you love the Lord Jesus, and go because you're dependent upon him, and go because you realize without him, you can do nothing. Now, this is a reservoir of God up here, friends. And I would suggest you stick a big pipe up there and tap it. The bigger the pipe, the more the flow. I gave this message up in California in the classes, and the boy said, you know what my problem is? He said, I've had a little soda straw up there. That's right. Little soda straw, couple minutes on the run, just a little trickle. Open it up. Give him some time. Set aside time and let God flow from the reservoir into your life, the very life of God into your life. Now, this is a foundational spoke, and quickly I want to establish just 2 or 3 verses here. This is intake, if you like to put the word intake, and without a good intake, there will never be a what? Overflow. You've got to have intake. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. 1 John 5:11-12. And leave a little space after that one, and then John 14:21. John 14:21. All right, after 2 Timothy 3:15-17, the word foundation. The Word of God is the foundation of the Christian life. Foundational spoke in the wheel, it's the foundation of the Christian life. It states here, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in who? Jesus Christ. And then, as Jack said this morning, they're the comprehensive equipment for the saint. They're to equip us for every good work. The Word of God is the foundation. Foundational spoke, foundation for the life. If we're faithful day by day, God through his word is going to give us day by day what we need to do the job that he calls us to do. And he's going to round out our life, complete it. This 1 John 5, the word assurance. And through the word, I'm only going to give you one assurance, a wonderful assurance, but a basic one, but many you have in the word. Quote it with me. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you have Jesus Christ tonight, what do you have? Life. Who said so? God said so. And this is a little motto I want you to take. God said it in his word. God said it in his word. I believe it in my heart, and that settles it in my mind. Don't try to read this someone afterward. I'll tell you, it'd be impossible. But God said it in his word. I believe it in my heart. That settles it in my what? Mind. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. Who said so? God said it. Where? In his word. In particular, right here, I have his word for it. I believe God. It's the anchor of my faith. And you can take any promise of God and fit this little motto to it. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. It's the anchor for our faith. And then finally, the word demonstration after John 14:21, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Demonstration. John 14:21, the Word of God, day by day, gives us an opportunity to demonstrate something. John 14:21 states, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that what? Loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself unto him." You want to show your love for God? How do you do it? Keep his commandments. Show your love for God? Keep his commandments. It demonstrates that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and your obedience to him. And I tell you, it demonstrates something else, too. It demonstrates to your wife and family and people at work and people around you that Jesus is Lord and that you're obeying his word, because you can't keep God's word without it affecting your life. God says, if you obey me, I'll reveal myself. Jesus said, I'll reveal myself. And we get a good look at Jesus Christ and become more like him by obedience day by day. Our life is going to change and people are going to see it in our life. And so it's a demonstration, God's word, that I love him. He's the Lord of my life, and it's a demonstration manward that Jesus is Lord, because you're going to see it in the way I live. Now, just before we get into this one, and we're going to close in plenty of time, I want you to take a little illustration. The Bible says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Any particular scripture, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is God's way. And the road to obedience, I believe, is mine by the devil. Boy, how he hates to see the saints of God walking in obedience. I might have told this before to some of you, but we had in our home in Seattle, Nav home, we had sailors out a lot, and a young fellow by the name of Art Hawk came one night, and we had a chance for fellowship and chance to quote some verses, and Art Hawk said, I'd like to quote a verse, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. This is what it says. Be sober. Be vigilant, because the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may... I left out something. What was it? Your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Little Art said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adviser the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's giving good advice today. And if he can get you off, he'll do it. Boy, I'll tell you, we need to know where we're going. This new morality would let a man fool around, perhaps, and be unfaithful. It'll yet let young people experiment, because why not? You love the person, and if no one's hurt, what's the difference? They say in a Time magazine some time ago that a virgin is no longer a girl who's pure, but one for who perhaps hasn't known more than one man. And so the devil gets to talking to you. You can't be pure and be popular. And boy, if you don't know where you're going when he hits you with that, you're liable to go off here. The Bible says, keep thyself pure. Pure for Jesus' sake. You say, you can't be honest and be competitive today. You know, everybody turns back to speedometers. And after all, Uncle Sam's got a lot of money. What does it hurt if we cheat a little bit on the income tax? But as we heard the other day, faithful is... But how does it go in Luke 16? He that is faithful in that which is what? Least is faithful also in much. And with God, honesty, there's no degrees in honesty. We are honest or we are not honest. And the moment that we do anything deceitfully or dishonest, we get off the road. I'll tell you where it gets a lot of people. That's in their pocketbook right here. It says, now, you know, your paycheck will never reach. You can buy all the groceries and pay the rent and make it meet all your needs if you tithe. So pay these other things and then pay a tithe of what's left. Well, the Bible says, bring to the Lord the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. The first fruits. And I know we couldn't trust ourselves, my wife and I, so the very first check we write out when our paycheck hits the bank is the check for the church. And I'll tell you this, God's going to get it some way or another. And if you don't give liberally to the Lord Jesus Christ, I've counseled people after people who are in misery. Your transmission's liable to drop out on the way back to home.
cost you $200 or $300 to have it repaired. Now, that doesn't mean that if it does drop out, you're not tithing. But I do know this, that God has a way. And if we're not liberal with him and give him his share, then we're going to lose it some way anyway. Do you agree with that? You know, it's like the manna. You just collect enough for the day. Your shoes last longer. Your clothes last longer. Everything lasts longer when you're giving to God what you ought to be. Just this, if we're off the road, friends, we're out of fellowship. And I'd like you to just contemplate on a verse here before we go to this one. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. See if there be any wicked way in me. See if I am off the road in any instance. Off here on some secondary road when I could be over here on the super highway of blessing. I am off here. Friends, there's only one way back, and that's where you got off. This folk here can be knocked out by neglect. It can be knocked out by doubt. And it can be knocked out by disobedience. Where do you stand tonight, friends? If you had a strong foundational spoke in your life, I'll hurry here to this wonderful prayer spoke. And sometime someone might give you the hand of prayer. You know, they've got lots of hands in the navigators. A hand of prayer, praising God and thanking God and confessing and then interceding and then petitions. You've ever had that one? The hand of praise. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Then the confession finger. 1 John 1:9. An intercession for others and then petition for our own selves. But just here, we will hurry along. Matthew 7:7, the word privilege. The word privilege. It's a wonderful privilege that we have day by day. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And what? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. And then Psalm 66:18, and the word problem. The word problem. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This spoke here can be X'd out by neglect. Are you really neglecting the Lord Jesus day by day in your time in prayer? This spoke can also be X'd out by doubting God's promises, really doubting and doubting these to claim them in prayer, and it can be X'd out by sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Of course, 1 John 1:9, and this is provision. If we confess our sins, say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How's your heart tonight, friends? Are you at peace with God? Are you on this wonderful road of blessing tonight? Is Jesus Christ in the center of your life? Just quickly, fill these two here, and I'll say a word, and we'll be through. This is the spoke of fellowship over here. And this is the spoke of witness. These are both overflows. Both of these are overflows. The spoke of fellowship and the spoke of witness. Fellowship. If you like, Hebrews 10:24-25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. This is the time that we're with others in worship or with others in fellowship like we're enjoying today. I'd like to make a point here, friend. I believe that we've got this whole program wrong. We go to church. This could stand for church, Sunday school, prayer meetings. We go to church on Sunday to get tanked up for the week so that we'll last to the next week. And we come dragging back in on Sunday morning and we pick up the hymn book and sing, Praise God from whom I come. Or we sing, Crown Him, Lord of all. You ever notice how quiet people are? You notice how the people sing here because they really mean what they sing, and that makes a difference. When Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, right in the center of it, and friends, when you're meeting Him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even as Bert said, Sunday here, ooh, boy, that's tough. You're walking with God, and God is going to fill your life with blessing and experience. And you can't wait till you get to church on Sunday or to have fellowship with others because you're bubbling over. And worship is really a time of praise and adoration. And we go to be with His people. I work all week maybe with fellows whose language is terrible. And I go back with the family on Sunday. And we stand and sing, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And our mind goes back to what God is doing in our life. Amen? And we sing, crown Him Lord of all. We sing with gusto from our heart because we really mean Jesus Christ is in the center of our life. Can you sing that way? And you go up to your pastor and you say, Pastor, man, let me tell you, share something out of Jeremiah I found last week. And then next, he goes over. No layman ever shared anything. Or in Sunday school class, you know, there's a time of silence. Anyone have anything to ask? Have I got something? Boy, I found something over here in the book of Acts. And the teacher wonders where you came from. But this ought to be the everyday experience. We're overflowing because of what Jesus Christ is doing in our life day by day. And if you're not in fellowship with Jesus Christ and He's not in the center of your life, you're just not comfortable. You're a dud, really, in church or in your fellowship. You just haven't anything to say. You're afraid someone might ask you something. And you feel a little uncomfortable. Is that right? Oh, that God might help us tonight to come into blessing. To Christ-centered and Spirit-filled. And you can't be Spirit-filled unless you're obedient to Jesus Christ and walking with Him day by day. And when this is in order here, then this is an overflow. We overflow into our fellowship with others, and we've got something to add because we've had freshness from Jesus Christ. We overflow in our worship in church because of what Jesus has done for us. And our witness is an overflow too. Otherwise, we're like the Dead Sea. And if you want just a couple of verses here, and if you'd like, I'm sure you have optionals or you're going to have some, I think, aren't you? Optionals on witnessing, the bridge, and so on. At least two verses. Acts 1:8, and 1 Peter 3:15. But remember this, friends, your witness really is your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Ye shall be my witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And when Jesus Christ is in the center of your life and you're abiding in Him, obeying Him, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a dynamic and a force in your life that will give you the dynamic of Stephen the layman. It says of him in Acts 6:10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spoke. And we all have that same privilege of God's Holy Spirit so dominating our life that He flows out of us. Well, what part of the wheel here is the most important? The center, the heart. Is Jesus in the center of your life tonight? Really? You think back now on these two passages. Haggai, the first chapter, H-A, how do you spell it? G-G-A-I or I-E or... Haggai, Ai, and Deuteronomy 8:11-15. You meditate on these two passages, and you ask yourself about priorities. Where are my priorities? You're going to have a discussion on them tomorrow, I believe, aren't you? Huh? I think so, priorities. Haggai, well, the first chapter, verses 4 through 10. First chapter, 4 through 10. You've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm.
And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes.